Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Last week on Hope for Today, we were studying Luke chapter 9 and verses 1 to 6. Our study was titled, Commissioned to Proclaim the Gospel. As I noted then, our text reveals several principles that you and I must understand in our commission to proclaim the gospel. Now, so far, we've looked at two principles, delegated authority and delineated simplicity. On today's broadcast, we'll look at a third principle. And as I share this concluding portion of this teaching, let me begin by reading our text, Luke chapter 9 and verses 1 to 6. Then Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, "Take nothing for the journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust of your feet as a testimony against them." So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Most people who feel called to missions take necessary and practical training to get ready for the field. But once the training is finished, they head for their particular field of service, trusting God to provide for their needs. Yes, they have friends and even their local church congregations supporting them, but they don't specifically ask for funds. When they have needs, they pray, and they ask God to supply their needs. If others ask about their work or ask them if they have needs, then they freely and honestly answer those questions. But they don't require a certain level of funding before they leave for the field. Somehow, their way of doing it seems closer to the model Jesus introduced here. On the other hand, there are those who stay home in their local communities, and they enjoy a more familiar environment. They maintain their employment, they build up their savings or retirement account, and perhaps they purchase a vacation home somewhere. They have the latest toys and electronic gadgets that the world promotes as a symbol of status. They know their resources should enable them to share the gospel freely, but their lifestyle consumes more and more of their finances. Some of them even give generously to missions to support those who have gone to the foreign field. But from all outward appearances, their goal seems to be accumulation rather than gospel proclamation. And that process of accumulation can also prevent them from sharing the gospel with their neighbors. Now, I'll be the first to admit, this principle of delineated simplicity is difficult in my culture that measures success by the amount of things we have. But we really should not be looking for the approval of our culture, but for the approval of God on our lives and on our lifestyle. The gospel, wherever it goes, is definitely counter-cultural. If you and I are going to obey this principle, it's going to take an intentional effort on our part. We will need to make conscious choices to reject a materialist worldview. Under the guidance of God's Holy Spirit, we will deny ourselves certain things so we can use more of our resources to proclaim the gospel. Now, be careful, because this self-denial does not earn salvation or special favor with God. It's simply a matter of discipleship, voluntarily limiting myself in order that others may learn of God's love for them through Jesus. I don't know about you, but my tendency is to look at others, especially those who have more than I do, and find fault with their lifestyle. But I need to ask God how well I'm doing in this area of delineated simplicity. Are there changes that I need to make for the sake of the gospel? I'm sure there are some, and I believe God wants you to examine your lifestyle too. You know, the scriptures teach that we followers of Jesus will one day need to give an account of our stewardship. I'm not sure what all will be included in that reckoning, or how the Lord will handle that process. But wouldn't it be tragic if He revealed to us that because of our lavish lifestyle, there were those who missed heaven because they never had the opportunity to hear the gospel? And here's another question for us to ponder. Does our failure to live simply affect the first principle, the flow of delegated authority through our lives? Will God entrust you and me with His authority and power if we fail to embrace this second principle? I believe serious reflection on those questions will most likely call for changes in our lives. If you and I are going to effectively fulfill our commission to proclaim the gospel, we cannot ignore this principle of delineated simplicity. The final principle, then, is demarcated responsibility. To demarcate something means to set boundaries. And Jesus set clear boundaries for the 12, outlining their responsibility. They were fully equipped to carry out their responsibilities, but they were not responsible for the acceptance or the rejection of the message. Matthew's account of this same event records Jesus telling the disciples to be selective in finding a base of operations for their ministry. They were to inquire about a suitable place to stay in a particular town. If they found the advice they received to be accurate, then they were to stay there as long as they were active in the area. They weren't to move from house to house, perhaps in the quest for better accommodations. When they left the home where they stayed, the peace that they had brought, authorized by the Master, would rest on that household. If the report they had received was not accurate and the house was not worthy, by their evaluation, their pronouncement of peace would return to them. And then there was one final possibility, outright rejection. If they came to a house recommended to them and they were rejected out of hand, when they left town, they were to shake off the dust of their feet as a witness of condemnation against the house or the city that refused them hospitality. You see, rejecting these ambassadors of Christ was a serious matter. Matthew and Mark both record Jesus saying that more mercy would be shown to Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than to those cities that refused the witness of the disciples. Knowing the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, we may wonder, how can this be? Well, here, I believe, is part of the reason. The 12 were sent out by Jesus' authority. So those who rejected them were not just rejecting the disciples, they were rejecting Jesus. And so the punishment for rejecting the disciples of Jesus was severe. Sodom and Gomorrah never had the privilege of entertaining such heavenly messengers like these cities around Galilee. This brings to mind the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. He said, "And that servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." Now we read in the final verse of our text that after receiving these instructions, the disciples went through the towns, preaching the gospel, or evangelizing, and healing everywhere. They took their commission seriously, and they went out to exercise the power and the authority that was granted to them by Jesus. Today, you and I are like them. We have a clearly demarcated responsibility. We've been given what we often call the Great Commission. It's a mandate to take the gospel of Christ to the whole world. In that commission, we're commanded to make disciples in every people group. Part of that process of making disciples is teaching them to keep or obey and guard all the things that Jesus commanded. That includes the entire New Testament. If we do that, we are promised the presence of Jesus as long as the world stands. Our mission, our responsibility, is clearly defined. It is clearly demarcated. Also, like the 12, we're not responsible for what people do with the message. God will hold them accountable for their response. However, having said that, I would also say that we should not do things that will hinder people's response to the message. Our character and our conduct and our lifestyle should be things that point people to Christ, not turn them away. Now, if you're a follower of Christ, I urge you to reflect on the commission you have to proclaim the gospel. Do you understand that the authority and power you have as a disciple has been delegated to you? I remind you, you have a delegated authority that comes to you by virtue of your relationship with Jesus Christ. The power and authority to proclaim the gospel is not inherent in you. It is something you have received, and as I said earlier, you must never forget that. And how are you and I fleshing out the principle of delineated simplicity? Think again about how much more quickly the gospel could spread, how many more people could hear the good news, if you and I would learn to live more simply. It's not too hard to see how our failure to live simply affects our ability to proclaim the gospel, and that's true whether we serve in our local community or in a country on the other side of the world. And finally, have you accepted the principle of demarcated responsibility? Do you know what God expects of you as one of His children? And what role are you fulfilling in the command to make disciples of all nations? As one who is commissioned to proclaim the gospel, how well do you understand these principles? And are they part of your daily life? Join me now in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, confessing our need of you. We find it so easy to forget about or ignore the commission we all have to proclaim the gospel. We find it easy to be overcome with the cares of life and the deceitfulness of riches. O God, forgive us and open our eyes to the needs of others around us. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity and privilege of looking into your word together with my listening friend. Thank you for speaking to our hearts through your Holy Spirit and calling us into a deeper understanding and practice of these important principles. May our lives be changed as a result of our study, and your Spirit's working in us. And may the lives of those around us be changed as we share the gospel with them. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My friend, were you blessed by this teaching? If so, you can have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching just by writing and requesting it by its title, Commissioned to Proclaim the Gospel. The quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Commissioned to Proclaim the Gospel. I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533, and request your free copy of this teaching, Commissioned to Proclaim the Gospel. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we move on in our study from Luke's Gospel. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.